Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Good afternoon and welcome to freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Well, it is TGIF. It is Friday. And this is Market Watch with yours truly, the Crow. Well, same kind of report today that I would have given yesterday. The market continues this spree of selling off, and who knows where it'll stop. Looks like the Dow is going to end up today with a huge loss, 880.43, down that much. Now, that could change a few pennies. We're getting right close to another one of those millennial numbers, 31,392.36, breaking under that, then that opens the door for that round lot 30,000 number. So the market continues to be aware of all the troubles that are going on in the world, as well as in the USA as well. So that's the circumstances. All continues to be the real problem. West Texas Intermediate pushed over 121 today. These are spot prices that I give. Okay, well, you just got that. I got an alert that a severe thunderstorm had just been issued for me, so we'll keep our eye on that. But West Texas Intermediate is up over that $120 mark, so that's going to take an effect. In fact, I think that's the main reason you're seeing the market pull back here is the price of oil, because oil affects really almost every aspect of the economy, from the farmers to the truckers to the vacation people. There's actually... when you take the petroleum away, there's no aspect of it. Even if you had an electric vehicle, the batteries that were built had to be transported by others. So oil is we're a long way from being able to say we don't ever need any oil anymore. In fact, I doubt any of us's lifetime you would ever see that get to that point. So oil is going to be with us for a long time. And as a result, when you're seeing ways to get around oil, then simply producers just they'll just say, well, hey, if that's the way you want to play the game, we'll just cut production. And we'll cut production and raise the price, and we'll still be taking in the same amount of money that we were getting for our oil. We just won't have to give out as much of it. So that's really the catch-22 to going into these battery-operated automobiles, and it's going to take a long time to transition into that aspect of it. And, of course, new technologies are coming out pretty rapidly and advancing those. But the cost of them is still extremely high. And, you know, it just changes up the dynamics of transportation, period. You've got all the 18-wheelers on the road. Will they ever be, you know, it would take a huge battery of batteries to power 18-wheelers. So we've got a long way to go. Doubtfully in our lifetime we would see any real really change in that direction. All is going to continue to be a marketable product, and of course that falls right over into gasoline as well. So we might as well just take one day at a time and try to deal with that day as best we can, and with a little planning for tomorrow. But I don't think that this is a span of time of our lifetime of where you can do any real long-range planning, because things are changing so rapidly, and with governments really kind of confused as to what is going on. So we'll just have to get through this, and we will, as a people, as a civilization, as a country, and as a world. Hopefully the world will come out of this, and we would have learned some things that will keep us a little bit closer to Mother Earth. I mean, actually, after you stop and think about it, everything that we consume, other than the oxygen that's in our air, comes out of Mother Earth. It gives us everything with the lakes and the fish that we get and on the land. Think about it. All of the items that you eat are produced as a result of the Earth being such a fertile planet that is able to sustain the billions of people that are taking their nourishment and taking their life and livelihood from the Earth. It is amazing to think about that this one planet is sitting out there with called Earth, with all of the differences from any of the other planets out there. As far as we know, there could be others beyond the realm of being able to say that's definite proof, but as far as we know, this planet has been blessed to feed all of the people, to give them the minerals and natural resources. Think about the fact you wouldn't have had a car if you didn't have iron ore to extract from the earth. You wouldn't have that jewelry that you're wearing with the gold or the silver or what have you if it hadn't come from Mother Earth. So the earth is the giver of all life one way or another. You know, you think these people that call themselves environmentalists or what have you, some of those are really radical nuts, and I understand that. But we do have to save our planet, and we do have to do it in sensible ways. And that doesn't mean today just said, okay, no more cars can buy gas. I mean, that's stupidity. We're not there, but we just have to look for practical applications to be able to remain compatible with this beautiful, lovely planet that we are on, called Earth. It is Mother Earth, because all we have, one way or another, she has given us. And, you know, Mother Earth doesn't charge anything for that oil coming out of the ground. That's human beings and their mechanics and their apparatuses to extract it. They're the ones that are putting the dollar value or Riyadh, as far as the Saudis, their value on the oil. It's them. It's not Mother Earth that's saying, well, this is what it's worth. It's supply and demand to a degree, and then when you can control the supply, then you automatically can control the demand. When you control the supply and demand, then you automatically can control the price. And we know the oil companies are kind of a greedy bunch, the people at the head of those oil companies that are making millions of dollars a year. We know they want to keep their golden parachutes when they retire and take on those millions of dollars. It's been going on for a long time. I can remember when Gulf Oil was bought over to Chevron, and the golden parachutes that all of these executives got out of that and continue. You see that going on daily, on a daily basis. If one company takes over another, usually the heads of the company that was being taken over, they get golden parachutes and big bonuses and walk out many times in millions and millions and millions of dollars away, without any real consideration for the independent little stockholder that's out here. So that's the kind of situation that we're in. We're going through, in my estimation, we're in a transitional period of time. You can see it in the automotive with the batteries. You can see it there. Almost everything that you think of right now is transitional. Farming is being transitioned. Crops, different crops are being rotated in and rotated out. We're just in a period of, I don't think there's ever been, and not it definitely in my lifetime, a period of history equal to what we're experiencing currently. It's kind of scary. And also, if you're really adventuresome, then, well, it is an adventure. We're almost like we're on a ship that's been abandoned to some degree, that's being tossed about in the sea. And hopefully that the waves will bring it close to some shore where it can pull itself in, dock itself, or whatever. You hope the ship doesn't go down while it's in transit. So you've got a government now that seems to be in total disarray with the Republicans, as well as the Democrats, that are squabbling and feuding, and some of the Republicans are acting like Democrats, and some of the Democrats are acting like communists, by frankly, to just point it out point blank. So where are we? Where are we going to end up? The common working people, like the listeners of this radio station and many others, we're just people that want to live our life. We want to educate our kids. We want to put food on the table. We'd like to be able to save a little money for our retirement if we ever get to that point. And now with the prices of goods, look at the price of goods. Has virtually everything that you can think of has doubled in the last year or so. Is there an end to it? What is the stopping point? Well, it's when people simply don't have the money to buy that product, that stops it right there. But who wants to get to that point? You know, during the Second World War, you had items that were rationed. You know, you couldn't buy a new automobile from 43 or 44. I think I don't know if they produced any for domestic consumption in 42. I know 41s. They were 41s, but 43s and 44. There were no automobiles. It all went to military. So with the things going on today in Russia and the Ukraine, tomorrow's a mystery. Today's going to be history in a matter of seconds. It's over with. It's gone. And tomorrow is truly, I think, as much in our lifetime, tomorrow is really a mystery. Yesterday's history, tomorrow's mystery. And that's really really what, because we don't know what's going on. The politicians in Washington, I think, for the Democrats and the Republicans as well, I think the mass majority of the American public is saying, you know, we don't trust any of you anymore. You come home, you politic, and you say one thing, and then when you get back to Washington, you go through that that chamber that they evidently dehumanize you, and you go through that chamber, and you become one of them. You're not one of us anymore. You're one of them. You've got 535 of them up there that are elected by the people to go up there and represent the people. But when you get there, the first thing you want to do is you want to rub elbows with the ones that has the committee appointments, and you want to get on this committee, that committee, and you kind of got to wait your turn. But as long as you can get reelected and all, then yeah, okay, we'll put you on this committee. You're on the transportation committee. You're on the banking committee. You're on this committee. And once you get those power positions, then you go back home and you tell the folks when it comes time for election again, say, look, I'm on important committees. You don't want to not reelect me again. So you know how difficult it is. Once a person is elected to Congress, you know how difficult it is to beat them and get them out. It becomes virtually impossible. They either retire there. Look at Nancy Pelosi at her age. Do you think that she is the sharp, fine-tuned mental capacity to be with the power that she is able to control in Washington? Really? Do you think Joe Biden, bless his heart, I mean, good grief, Joe, you've had enough money to retire 10 times. You know that you're not doing the job that a real president should be doing. You know you're not doing it. You're going to your retreat there. Every time you turn around, you're... Hang on just a moment. Hello? That was my neighbor, and I don't know. She might have... So anyway, she had called me, and I tried to answer it, and didn't get her back, so I don't know. But getting back to that, but here's where we are. I think we're in a pivotal time. There's little doubt. If you follow any of the news media, hang on, let me try it one more time. Hello? Okay, I'm on the radio, but I'll be at the front door, okay?
All right, I can put it on your truck.
Oh, okay, is my truck, my Pathfinder's there. Just open the door and put it there, okay, darling? Okay, sweetheart, thank you so much. That was my neighbor, and she had cooked something and wanted to share it with me. We have a great little neighborhood up on this hill, and only one neighbor up here, and we really get along and look out for each other greatly. And she had cooked something that she wanted to share with me, and boy, that's really what living in a small town and getting around, that's one of the real values for it. But anyway, we're at a pivotal time in America. I just don't see it any other way. The electoral process is in jeopardy. Whether you're a Democrat or whether you're a Republican, if you are honest with yourself, if you are willing to really analyze what went on in the past election, you know it wasn't an honest election. You have to admit that. There's no way that you can think, well, everything was fine. Now, you know, we can't go through this again, or our democracy is going to be shattered and unrepairable. If we were to be put in that position once again, it just won't work. We have to have a fair. People will quit voting. I mean, if your vote doesn't even count, or if it's if the machines are giving you a half vote, and see, we know that those computers, which that's nothing that a voting machine is except a modified computer. We know it can count any way you want to. You just go in and program, say, okay, if it's a Republican vote, it counts in 9/10 instead of 1. Or vice versa, whatever. We've got to get away from that and get back to at least for the next couple of elections, until we get all of these things out of it, we got to go back to paper ballots. I don't care if it takes a week. Then when paper ballots are counted, human beings count them. You can have the scanners run them through that. That may be permissible, but what have you. But we can't just rely on a bank of computers that are registering the votes, and then they're immediately taken to some storeroom, and you know that they're nothing but computers, and they can be programmed. We have got to reestablish the integrity of the American electoral process, or our country is over. There's no other way around it. It's that critical, folks. And it's up to you, the people, the listeners, whatever state you're in. If you're in another country, which we do have many listeners in other countries, it should be the same situation in your country. Not only America. If the electoral process is not honest and fair, then you might as well just have dictatorships all over the world. Because that's basically what you will end up with. So we're at a critical time, but I have faith in the American people. Of course, there's some people in America anymore that would love to tear America down and see it in the dirt. We know that. There's always going to be those kind of people. There's no way around it. But I still believe the basic fabric of America is a good people that want honesty and fairness for all. I hold no malice toward any race or any sexual orientation. That's an individual thing for each person. I know my own preferences. I don't try to impose those on anyone else. I give you my opinion, and then you're free to make your own choices. But the government currently are trying, it seems to me, to make the choices for us. You don't have any say-so anymore. We're going to do this. I'm a firm believer in term limits. I don't think a member of Congress has the ability to go up there and stay 40 years to have to be carried out when they're 80 or 90 years old. You need young, sharp minds up there. I think probably 70 should be the cutoff. You got to retire at 70. And boy, look, wouldn't that be a house cleaning going on up there? And really, that's the way I see it, because these like Biden that are beyond the hill, and many other members of Congress that are in their 70s to 80s to whatever, including Pelosi and all of that bunch. Don't you think there's someone in California that probably has a better feeling of the people than Nancy Pelosi? I mean, she and her husband are wealthy beyond, I don't know, maybe 150, 200 million, 250, I don't know, 300 million. I don't know what they're worth. But I know that politics has played a very integral part of accumulating that wealth. But now also remember this. All the politicians that are up there, the way the laws are written for political contributions, and their re-election campaign funds, whatever money is left over in there, when they retire, they get to take that home with them, tax-free, unless the law's been changed. That's the way it's been. Wouldn't that be nice for you to have those same benefits? Congress does one thing for themselves. Look at the protection now they're going to get. Since we had the problems on January the 6th and then the other problems are up there now, it's going to be a fortress. They don't have to worry about me coming to Washington. I don't want to be infected with the filth that's there. They don't need to worry about me coming. Don't worry, I won't be there. When I was a kid in high school, that was one of the greatest things, the trips that usually seniors were always wanting to go to Washington. Take the senior trip. I don't know that schools even do that anymore, but back in my day, that was a big occasion for the seniors. They had raised money by doing car washes or cutting grass or whatever to be able to take a senior trip. And Washington was one of the main places because you wanted to see the center of government. And you might even, if you were lucky, you might even get to have an audience with your congressman from your state. We're going to take the break, but don't leave us. We will be right back.
You. If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day, from this day to that, for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Welcome back to freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Boy, I'll tell you what, the girls in the chat room, Maced and Cat Dog Girl, even Dones is getting into it a little bit there, and Eagle Flower. We love you all. A beautiful bunch of girls here. I'll tell you what, if you come over and get in the chat room, you can chat with them. Just don't be flirting with them because, you know, I kind of claim them. I really, I'm kind of selfish that way, but I tell you, if you've never been to our chat room, you really should get over here and get in there. Information, knowledge, a great group of people. No one is going to really abuse you or misuse you. It's a great, great chat room. We have moderators, and we just don't put up with that kind of thing. But it's a great way to exchange information and to really, it's just, really, if you're going to be involved in this radio station, get in the chat room, and I think you'll really enjoy it. And I do need to mention that the goodwill of our listeners is really what keeps the station going. That was Nighthawk's dream, and I can still see him sitting up there on that big cloud looking down and saying, "Hey, folks, don't forget, we got to pay the bills." And, you know, you don't, no one's asking you to take your grocery money or your gas money or any of that, but $5 or $10 along the way, to pay the bills, because the bandwidth, the more listeners you've got, the more bandwidth you have to get out there. And naturally, the more bandwidth, the more it costs you. These carriers, that's what they love to sell is bandwidth, and that's the way it works, folks. So the more listeners we get, the more bandwidth it requires, the more money it takes to pay the bills. So don't forget to make a, and kind of do it on a monthly basis, because the bills come around every month, and you got to pay them, you know? So that's about it. Really, the market is reflecting the fear that's out there. And it's not only here. China's in complete disarray. We don't know the true facts of what's going on there. And now you've got the Taiwan deal up in arms again. You know, China wants to take over Taiwan. That's been their goal for a long, long time. And that's not going to change. Let's see if I can reach over here. Tinker is my chihuahua, and if I don't keep his water bowl up to where he thinks it ought to be, he will sit down and look over at me and grumble. And that's what he was doing. I thought he had water in his little bowl, and so he wanted more. It wasn't exactly where he wanted it to be. And you know who's the boss? It's Tinker. He's my chihuahua. He's my companion. Boy, I tell you what, he's been a wonderful little animal. I love him to death. Had him since he was a tiny little puppy, just a baby chihuahua, and raised him. And I've been a dog lover all my life, even though in my youth I was in the field picking cotton and I was attacked by a rabid dog and had to take after a bunch of stitches and staples in my face. I had to take 21 rabies shots for that to keep from going mad myself. And but I survived it. And, boy, I can remember going to the doctor, and the old doctor, he didn't even put any he tried to deaden it, you know, under my lip and my eye. It almost, one of my eyeballs almost tore it out. Of course, it didn't damage my eyesight or anything, but it ripped that eye socket under there, and he had to staple that and clamp it back up. Boy, it was an ordeal. But anyway, I survived it, and I'm still kicking, and I'm like the Timex watch. I can take a licking and keep on ticking, and here we go. But anyway, our country is going through a transition, and we just, all of the good people that love the country, we've got to stand our ground. We can't cave in. We can't let the politicians completely eliminate our political process. We've got something that has worked well since the founding of the country in 1776. We've got all these years behind us. We've gone through wars. We've gone through all of that, from the Civil War to the First World War, the Spanish-American War. We had all these little wars, the Vietnam, the Korean War. We've had all these wars, and yet we're still a coherent nation. And there shouldn't be any hatred among the races of people. Hey, you're a different race from me, but I don't have any right to hate you. You and I can get along. I have as many black friends as I have white friends. I've never been able to say, hey, I don't like you because of your race. That's just unfair. It's unfair as a human being. And our nation is severely divided currently. And a divided nation will not stand. I really fear that there are people in this country right now that want a civil war, that want to see the blacks and whites fight it out, whatever. We can't have that. We can't stand it. Our nation will not stand. That's why we're called the United States of America. This is the Americas. This, and we are the United States. And such a beautiful, God grace this country with all the natural resources. Look at our farmland across the farm belt. We feed a large part of the world because our agriculture has been so bountiful. Look at our oceans, all of the seafood, and I live on the, you know, I lived on a very much coast for most of my life, and then moved up off of the coast a little bit to kind of get away from the storms, to be honest with you. But think of the bounty that we have, the wonderful seafood, the wonderful crops that are grown across this country. In my area, we grow a lot of watermelons, some of the best in the world. This area is famous in this part of the world for three or four states around us. Watermelons that come from my area are prized. They are the very best because of the land. It's the land, you know, that actually produces. Some different areas, like in California, they have their crops and their walnuts and their fruit trees, and then of course in Florida. But just think about the bountiful nature that God gave this country. We should cherish it and thank God that he did that for us. And also think about the wars that America has had to be involved in. And yet we came out a better country on the other side when it was all over with. You don't want to see the loss of life of any group of people or any different thing, but it just seems like it's, you know, it's impossible to not have disagreements that turn into wars. I mean, look at the murder rate in this country now. Can you believe the number of people that are being killed daily and primarily in these big metropolitan towns? That's why I don't live there. I went to school in New York City as a stockbroker, but, you know, that was many years ago. I wouldn't want to be there now. I think I would have to pass and say, no, I believe I'll skip it. But, you know, I don't want to impose my will or my opinions or my ideas or my concepts on anyone else. You have your own mind. You have your philosophy. You have what you believe, and that's fine. We can get along. We can even disagree and get along. But the only thing we need to do is, okay, I respect you, and I respect the fact that you might think different from me, but that's okay. You might win me over. I don't know. There's so much good. And why do you think people in caravans are coming to America? They're not going other places, are they? You know, I mean, look at these poor people. And they're just trying. I mean, they're trying to look for a better life. And I don't blame them. But still and all, if we don't have a border and we don't have border control, we really don't have a nation. Honestly, I'm not against immigrants. My grandmother came here from Ireland. One of my grandmothers, the other grandmother, was born here. She was a Choctaw Indian. And that's my blood. The blood that flows through my veins is 100%, in my opinion, Choctaw, because that's just the way it is. That's the way I think. That's the way I feel. But my grandmother came here from Ireland when she was a young woman. She, her sister, and two brothers. That was during the potato famine, you know, and people were starving to death there, and they were actually able to leave Ireland and make it to Pensacola, Florida, and settled in Pensacola for many, many years. And so we are a nation of immigrants. And that is what gave us all of the different taste and food. And I'll think of the Italian food, the French food, all of the different things. Think of Louisiana and New Orleans. And right now, New Orleans is in disarray. The murder rate in New Orleans, and I love New Orleans. I used to go there on weekends and have a wonderful time. In the French Quarter, Bourbon Street, no other place like it. But right now, New Orleans is in serious trouble because of the murder rate. People are just killing at random. It's like we're at war with each other. It's a shame. I don't know how to stop. I don't have the answers. But I know that politics is sought to divide the country, and that's really where we are right now. Because of political situations, politics has divided our nation. And you know as well as me that a divided nation is vulnerable. And that's why we are in a danger zone now. And, you know, I have nothing personal against Biden. I never liked the guy. I wouldn't have ever voted for him for anything. I think he's always been phony. I can remember that picture of him that was taken when him as a lifeguard. And the kids rubbing the hair on his leg to see the hair stand up. He obviously had real hairy legs or something. But I've never liked the guy. Even when he was a senator or whatever, I just didn't care for him. And now look at, you know, what he produced, a son. Good grief. It's hard to believe that that the American people just rolled over and accepted this, and the Supreme Court sit there like a bunch of dunces and did nothing, and I don't know, in Congress. It's a sad state of affairs. But I do believe this. We will overcome it. We will overcome this. But it's going to take an effort. If you have ever voted and you want to save this country, the next local election you have, the next one for your state officials, get out there, and of course, I just don't see how that we're going to get through these next, you know, we got another 2.5 years of a so-called Biden administration. God forbid something happened to him, because you know who would be president? Kamala Harris, Willie's girlfriend. Can you imagine her as president and Nancy Pelosi elevated then from Speaker of the House? She assumes the VP. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about the consequences of what we potentially could have? It's scary. This is a scary time in America. But I do believe the will of the American people. You know, they've kind of fired us up. Oh, I keep getting these warnings on my iPhone that we got a pretty good storm right on top of us. I hope I don't lose connection here. But anyway, I just hope that all of us will stand down and be a little bit more patient and say, let's just get through this all together. Let's don't divide ourselves. Let's don't split off into little factions, and that's when the weakness comes, because it's like plaiting a rope or something. if you plant it together, like if you use a four plat or whatever. I used to love platting when I was a kid. I learned it as a Boy Scout, you know. And so we are a very strong rope. But if you take away half of the lines, then there you go. It weakens it right on down. So we're a great country. And there are other great countries. I'm not condemning any other country. Our friends in Canada, Mexico, and all of Europe, everywhere, they're good countries. But America has been that bright and shiny beacon on the hill that has brought people from all over the world. And that's what made us so great. We were that giant melting pot. But we did that in a manner of, you go through our customs. You can't have open borders of where people that want to blow up bridges and what have you are coming across there, and terrorists and whatever. We don't know who's crossing our border. Did you ever believe in your life that you would see the borders of America just open to anyone that wanted to walk across them? My wife came here from Vietnam. And she had to do it in the proper way. Go through the channels. Go through the way. Waiting list. What have you. And as I said earlier, my grandmother came on my dad's side, was from Ireland. But they came here and were counted. And okay, question. Okay, now you're a citizen. We don't know who's in this country. We could have agents that are subversive sitting waiting for the proper time to act. You've already seen a security alert on the Supreme Court. Can you imagine that? That even the Supreme Court now is at risk. It's kind of unimaginable that a member of the Supreme Court, that a person had the intent to take that person out. I just think we've got to get our stuff together and remember, we are a great country. We're a great nation. We're a great people. Get along with your neighbor. Cut the feuding and fighting out, and let's get along. And the Republicans and the Democrats, if you want to do the good for your country, then get together and do what's good for the people, all of the people. Regardless of whether they're Republican or Democrat, you're there to serve all of the people. Simple as that. And that's what you're supposed to do. And if you can't do it, we need to elect someone up there and get your butt out of there. We pay them enormous salaries. They got all the pension plans, life insurance protection, everything. We give them everything. And yet they go up there and all they want to do is campaign for reelection and get all that campaign money and bring home. And when they do retire, bringing home with them tax-free millions and millions of dollars. I don't know. But anyway, our nation will survive. We're not going down. We're going to get through this presidency that we have in spite of it all. I do believe that. I have faith in that. And I just hope that the one that follows this one will put Donald J. Trump. I never cared for the guy personally. I never liked him. But he did a terrific job for our country while he was there. And I would vote for him tomorrow if he was on the ballot. It's that simple. Because he's a businessman, and that's why he was hated in Washington, because he wasn't one of them. Don't you know that that's the real reason that they did everything they could to take him down? Was because he's not one of us. He's an outsider. He's a businessman. He might discover what we've been doing. And that's really the whole thing right there. He did discover it. And Look at how the country was moving then. Look at the unemployment rate when he was there. Look at the market. He pushed the market all the way up to that all-time record. And now look at the market. The market's in trouble. Stay alert. Things can happen quickly and very dynamically. This market is extremely fluid. It's extremely scary right now, too. So be careful. Watch your investments. As far as gold and all, like I said, you know that Russia's still selling gold. Otherwise, gold would be probably, under the conditions that's been existing, gold should probably have been $2,500, and yet it's hanging around that 1870 mark, 1874 today on spot gold. So there you go. Now we're still getting more thunderstorm threats, and I get these little alerts when it happens. But anyway, I can't say enough for our listeners. We appreciate each and every one of you, and I appreciate all the ones that put up with me here on Friday. We're here on Friday each week. And market-wise, I will just tell you, I don't think the selling is over with yet. I think that we're probably got some more area to test, and that number we're going down. We're probably going to test that 30,000 mark, and if that were to break under the 30,000 mark, then it would really be very bad trouble. It's that simple. So let's hope that we can hold in that 30,000 area. But it does look to me like that it wants to get tested. So I think we'll hear the music here in a minute. I guess we're still on the air. I don't really know the chat room. If you're still getting me in the chat room, just say we hear you or somebody. I could have been dead air and not even know it. There we go. There's the sound. That's it. God bless each and every one of you. We will see you again next week. Take care. God bless.
At Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays 2-4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion.